Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Beyer. Let's get growing. So before we start today's show, I just wanted to tell you about some technical difficulties I had at the beginning of the interview today. There may be some parts where my voice didn't record at all, and so it's a little bit bumpy to start. But Nola has some great answers to share, so I just left it all in as much as I could. Thank you so much for bearing with us today and hope you enjoy the conversation. Welcome to the show today. I'm so excited to introduce my guest who is super patient with my technology troubles, Nola Rhodes, who lives here in Montana right near me and the most beautiful, she has a wonderful home, a beautiful garden, a cute little store. If you ever come visit, you'll want to check out. And she's going to share some of her amazing tips on not just organic gardening, but organic houseplants. So that's something new we're going to have today to hear about. And so I'll let you just say hi.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everybody.
Yeah. The first question I always ask everybody is, tell me a little bit about your first gardening experience. You know, how old were you? Were you a kid, an adult? Who were you with? What'd you grow?
Yeah, I never really knew anyone that gardened, and there wasn't anyone that I was around in my family that gardened. But I was told that my mother's sister that lived in Holland gardened. Like, all, you know, her whole house was a garden, her outside was a garden. So I don't, maybe I just inherited it and, you know, through my genes, I have no idea. But I love gardening. I got my first African violet in 1974 when I was 15, and vegetable gardening and flowers outside came after that. But I started just raising houseplants, mainly African violets. So it's been like 40 years ago.
Okay, so what does organic gardening or earth-friendly gardening mean to you?
Yeah, what it means to me is not to harm the earth in any way. I don't even really necessarily like to, like, dig a big area because you're disturbing underground. That's a whole ecosystem. To put anything on it that's going to kill anything under the ground, or, you know, it's a bad practice because you're just taking, and at the same time, you're depleting the soil and ruining it, of course. So organic gardening would be using manure, basically I use manure and chicken manure and cow manure and kind of grass clippings, you know, leaves. To make the soil more friable, and that's about it.
So who or what inspired you to start using organic techniques?
Oh, boy. Well, a good friend of ours, Ken and I went to high school, and they lived in the same town as we did in Oregon, and that's the owners of Territorial Seed Company in Cottage Grove, Oregon. And that's Julie and Tom Johns. Like I said, we hung out with them, went to school, and as they progressed in their seed company, we just talked all the time, and I mainly got it from them.
Nice.
Yeah, they're cool. I don't know if you know anything about their seed company, but it's a good place to shop.
Now, how did you learn how to garden organically?
My techniques I learned from trial and error, usually all of them, and then adopted the good ones and use those all the time now. But I just, from them, basically was the organic side. I was gardening before. So, you know, I just learned by experience. You know, I did have one lady, but this had to do with houseplants. When we lived in Eugene, Oregon, she lived behind us, and she had three huge greenhouses full of houseplants. And she was all organic, and that was just the most amazing place to step into, to smell the jasmine or the gardenia when you walk into one of the greenhouses. that was, that's my first, that's where I really wanted to start growing a good garden, vegetable garden.
Now, Nola, let's dig a little deeper here. You were saying that you started gardening, but you weren't using organic techniques originally. So do you want to share a little about what you were doing or how that was going exactly, and then what changed for you?
Yeah, there was a lot of major things I was doing before. Like my first raised bed garden was made out of creosote great big beans. That was a bad mistake. Not only does the creosote soak into your soil and poison you, you know, stuff like that I don't do anymore because I learned not to do those things. Gosh, other things I have using chemical, as in, to me, I've been told this is not correct, but when you buy a bag of 16, 16, 16, that's natural and you can use that. But to me, that's chemical. And I don't know why it's dug out of the ground, but I have burnt things up with that in my flower beds. So that's an error that I learned. And I don't use that, try not to use that at all. I like just the manure.
Okay, so are there some things that she was doing that worked really well, or some things that you have tried that are working really well that you want to share with the audience?
She'd feed him tea. She would feed him...
Manure tea?
Yeah.
Or like compost tea?
Like fish manure. You would buy that bottle of Alaska, you know, fish. It's just really stinky fish that you put in your water. You know, it's a liquid, of course. And it's really inexpensive. But she did stuff like that. When she would get a new plant, she would buy her plants from Logies, and it's a company it's back east, and you can buy all kinds of exotic houseplants there. They send you little starts. Well, when she would get them, this might sound kind of crazy, but I don't know if you have heard of Bach flower essence. Okay, well, she would feed her little plants, especially if one was dying or distressed, that rescue remedy in the water. Just different things like that. It was just like, wow. It's really, there's no rules to how to really grow. It's what works for you. And the vibration. Yeah. Yeah, the plants, you know, plants are listening to us. I mean, they're alive. You know, you have to admit that. It's just, it's how, what you put it into them, you get back. If you give them a lot of love and attention, that's when you get a really good plant. So you want to visit them all the time, you know, be out there, talk to them. I do that.
So tell us about something that grew well this year.
Okay, that grew well last summer?
Yes, I know. Sorry, it's March. So last season. Yep.
Yeah, last growing season, the berries were phenomenal. Oh. I mean, it was like the year of the berries here at our house.
That's interesting. Because we didn't get a lot of raspberries or strawberries or anything last year.
Yeah, strawberry. Well, I got strawberries, raspberries, and blueberries, and they were just, I had plenty. Let's put it that way.
Do you think there's anything that led to your success last year? Was there something different? Was it the weather or something you did? Or,
Boy, that's hard to say. Probably the weather, because I haven't really done... Well, every year I do things different, because I'm always trying out something new. But I still grow in raised beds, you know, that...
So you have your strawberries and your raspberries and your blueberries all in raised beds? Even the raspberries?
The raspberries, the raspberries I did at one point, but the strawberries I do. But the other gardening, all my other gardening, I try to have a raised bed for.
So that kind of leads right into the next question. Is there something that you're excited to try next year or something you want to do different?
Yes, I'm going to try planting. I'm going to plant only heirloom this year, so I can save the seed. And I'm going to try planting jicama, which I think will be something. I've never tried to plant that. I've eaten it for the first time, and I love it. So that's what I'm going to try new.
So do you want to share a little bit about what is that for our audience? Because maybe some people won't.
Okay, I'll tell you what it is. It's I eat it raw, and it's a tuber. It grows under the ground, and it's white flesh, and it tastes like a cross between, you know, have you ever eaten a raw potato and maybe a apple? It's really, really good. And I guess you would make salads with it. I've only eaten it raw.
I've had it. It's kind of a sweet flavored, you know, kind of like an apple, like you said, more to me than a potato. Maybe it's like the texture of a potato, but tastes like an apple. Is that what you mean more? This doesn't really taste like a potato, do you think?
I mean both.
Okay. I guess it's been a while. And then I've shredded it on salads. Is that how you used it, or did you try it
no,
in slices?
No, I just cut it and ate it. I just cut it in slices and ate it,
Yeah.
It was so good. Gosh.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm going to be trying that.
All right.
And currants, actually. I'm going to try. I planted some currants in the fall, so I'm going to be working on those this year.
Okay. How about share with us something that didn't work so well this season that maybe you had some challenges with, or last season, I guess.
Oh, boy. In the vegetable garden?
Anywhere. Or flowers, or the houseplants?
Yeah,
or?
I did have some hybrid petunias that I planted, and I always plant, like about 15 baskets of petunias to hang, and the seeds weren't true. They were on hybrid that reverted back to all kinds of different ones. That's something I'll never do again, I hope. That was a disaster.
Why did that? Do you think that happened?
Because
seeds?
They probably didn't test the seed. They released it too soon. Maybe, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't anything good.
All right. How about something that you find is easy to grow and is generally successful every time?
Ooh, tomatoes. Celery. I can grow good celery.
All right,
peppers.
Got a tip for growing good celery? Because I've struggled with that.
You have to start it inside. Okay. But I have sowed the seeds directly in the garden as well, though. And just keep an eye on them, you know, because they do attract, at least mine, in the greenhouse, attracted aphids, and the ants, of course, were there a lot. So I kept them washed off all the time. I don't really know what would be a good tip for them.
Those are some good tips right there. How about something you would steer new gardeners away from that you find is typically challenging to grow in our climate?
Ooh, to steer them away from? Mm-hmm. Well, I would buy seeds that were adapted to this area, if you could, and heirlooms. I would not waste my time with hybrids or any GMO type of a seed. So, and that's a lot. You would have to be doing a lot of homework just looking up these, you know, seeds. Because you really want a seed that has been treated well and grown without stress and, you know, with care. That's what you want. You don't want a seed that won't perform good for you. And then once you get it and it likes your garden, it'll adapt to your garden, and you can collect it every year, and then you'll have a really good strain for yourself.
Ooh, I like that advice. We don't really save a lot. I mean, Mike saves some seeds, but we don't really save as many as probably we should be. So You're not the only one, but those were some good tips on how to do that, or what to look for. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's a new question you have not heard on the show since you've been a listener. I like that. Which is your least favorite activity to do in the garden?
My least mm-hmm. favorite?
Mm-hmm. Like, what do you just force yourself to do but wish you didn't have to?
Right. Oh, gosh. Weeding. Okay. I have to do that, and it's not my favorite.
And then that leads right into what is your favorite activity to do in the garden?
Oh, gosh. Going out with some tea with some honey in it and sitting there just looking at the garden. I love that part, and I do that every day. So, but I don't, I like to water, you know, pick all the deadhead everything. I just like visiting the garden.
Nice. How about your favorite tool that you like to use? Like, if you had to move and could only take one tool with you, what could you not live without?
One. Okay. I'm not sure what this tool's called. Everyone has one. It's got a handle, and it's got the straight stick pipe with a little forked end on the tip.
Uh-huh.
I like to call it a spade, but some people call a spade a shovel.
Right.
One of those little hand things that uh-huh. you poke in the ground and get the weed out.
Yep. I love that too. I don't know what that's called either. I call it my weeding tool.
I'll tell you my...
Or a weeding fork maybe is what I would call it.
A weeding tool, if you don't have any tools and you have chickens, let them go in your yard.
Okay.
They will scratch up everything. Seriously, and you can really see where the good weeds are coming up, and then you can go get them easier. Plus, they fertilize as they're doing that.
Okay, so...
And this is in the flower garden.
Now, I was going to... Because I asked somebody this the other day, and they didn't know. If you let the chickens into the garden, how do you keep them from eating everything and destroying the garden?
Well, I don't let them in my vegetable garden. They go through the fence right now. But once I plant anything or anything starts to come up, they're locked up in their little yard.
Okay.
Because you can't, though. I don't know how to train a chicken.
Because somebody was saying the other day about letting the chickens, like, pick some bugs off your tomatoes or something. And I thought, now how do you let them pick the bugs off the tomatoes and they don't eat the tomato plant?
I don't know. That would be... I don't know how you do that.
Okay. So then my next question is, what about eating or harvesting vegetables or fruit on time? Because that's like probably one of my biggest things is getting the produce into the house and getting it eaten before it goes bad.
Okay. I got some really good tips.
Ooh, cool.
Okay. So what you want to do, and you have to write this down or you're not going to remember. Keep a notebook with you in your pocket outside or whatever. And then add it to your garden notes. But you want to start a new row every 2 weeks. Like, say, of your lettuce. I mean, if you have chickens, you can feed them when you get too much. So you're not wasting it that way. But you're not just letting it go to seed and not eating it. If you plant every, like, a couple every 2 weeks. Or, like, one cabbage. And then 2 weeks later, plant one more cabbage seed.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That is really good. Also, if you have a lot of food at one time, you can have one glass of juice and you can eat so much vegetables at one time, it's unreal in that one glass. So you're not going to waste it there. Did any juicing or anything.
I do, and I'm getting more back into it with this new smoothie revolution, the green smoothie revolution. Now, do you know, so this is my question about juicing, because then I asked somebody this the other day. So I've been like juicing the kale and the carrots and then kind of mixing them into the smoothie with the other fruit and stuff to make it taste better. But all that stuff that's in the back of the juicer, like, I want to put that in like an omelet or something. Like, it just kills me to throw that stuff away. Like, it seems like there's so much more.
The pulp and
stuff?
Yeah.
Can you still eat, like, what's that still has nutrients and stuff in it, wouldn't it?
You can, yeah, I've made out of carrots. The pulp of carrots, I made carrot muffins once.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know, it's a little bit drier. It's a different type of a batter.
Uh-huh.
But you can still, it's still edible. But then again, if you have chickens, your chickens will like that stuff.
That's true. I did. I have been feeding it to the chickens, but it just seemed like what little bit you get out of so much stuff. I'm like, oh, am I really going to throw all this away?
You can maybe just cook it down into a soup or something, but you're getting the good stuff out of it, really, because you're what's left behind is the fiber.
Yeah, but isn't that an important part of why you eat fruits and vegetables?
It is. Like good just, point, Jackie.
You know, I pull the juicer out and I'm like, oh yeah, this is why it's in the bottom of my cupboard because, like, you know, but I'm like such a vegetable lover. Like, I love to eat vegetables. Fruit, I have to force down my throat. I'm not a fruit eater.
Oh,
but
wow.
Vegetables, I love like crazy.
That's
and
good. They're good for you.
It seems like such a waste to throw all that away, but I don't know. The smoothies seem to be doing really good, so I'm going to
Well, you can
it.
Also put it into your compost.
Yep,
you know, you're
that's
not,
true.
You can give it right back to the earth and it'll make something new for you.
All right.
So.
Well, yeah, it definitely goes to one or the other place, either the chickens or the compost, more the chickens. But,
yeah.
All right, well, I just maybe have to change my attitude or thought processes. How about secrets for preserving food or making food last longer? Like canning or freezing,
yeah.
do you do any of that?
Yes, I do. My latest thing I got last year was a juicer,
uh-huh.
and it's a steam juicer.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, when you have a lot of raspberries and pie cherries and all the stuff, you've canned all your pie cherries, but you still have a ton, you put them in this, it's almost like a double broiler. It has three different pots. The bottom one holds water. The second one's a basket you put your fruit in. Actually, that's the top one. There's a middle one that catches the juice. And you just throw all your fruit in there, even apples, just quarter them up, and you have instant juice coming out of the bottom of the pot right into your jar. Seal the jar, and it sucks itself sealed, and you put it on the shelf.
Cool. Oh.
Then you have cherry juice, you have raspberry, strawberry, whatever you put in there.
And then it lasts? You don't have to put it in the fridge?
No, it's canned. It's sealed.
Ooh, I'm going to have to get a link to that to put in the show notes and check that juicer out.
It's so cool.
Where'd you order that from? Or did you order it?
I love mine. I ordered it online, but they sell them right down at the hardware store. They're, I want to say, $129 and worth every penny. But they do come in different sizes.
Okay.
So shop around.
And what's it called? Does it have like
it's
a
It's called name? A steam juicer.
Steam juicer.
And you set it on top of your stove. It's not electric or anything like that.
Okay.
You just put the water in it and then stack it all up with everything and turn it on, and it boils that water underneath and steams all the fruit. You can use vegetables as well. And they just turn to mush, and you put the juice out of the middle of it into your jar, and then, like, if you had apples on the top, there's your applesauce. Strain that.
Oh.
You know, you have applesauce.
I forgot what I was just going to say. So then, what do you do with the juice? Do you just drink it as regular juice, or do you do something else with it then if it's canned juice?
No, I drink it.
Okay.
We drink it straight, and the grandkids love it. It's natural juice. I don't have to buy anything. Apple juice, grape juice. I do my grapes that way, too.
Oh, okay. What kind of grapes are you growing?
On the stems. I grow, they're called Valiant. I'm not sure of how to even pronounce the name. They're a dark blue grape with the thicker shell. And I have made wine out of them, and we just drink the juice.
Okay. Nice. Got any tips for growing grapes around here? Is that hard to grow? Do they grow pretty good? I mean, we're not
they
a very warm
good.
Climate.
Yeah, I think they just have to be protected, you know, from the wind and just kind of in a warm spot.
Okay.
In your yard or on your property, you know.
And did, can I just, like, where'd you get those? Did you get those at, like, a nursery in town, or did you order those somewhere, or have you just been growing
well,
them?
Well, I've gotten them from different nurseries in Kalispell, as well as Stewart's Nursery here.
Okay.
So, yeah.
How about a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden?
My very favorite thing is to go out to the garden, like in the morning if I can, and get all the stuff I want to eat for that night and chop it all up and then make a big stir fry.
Nice.
Just a little of this and that, and that's the funnest. I like doing that.
Me too. How about a favorite internet resource? Do you go anywhere on the internet and look for gardening tips or anything?
No, I really don't. I belong to the garden club in town.
Oh, okay.
So I get a lot of different tips and advice and great things from that club, you know, from them, the Weedettes.
Nice.
And then just experience, I guess. You know, I do have some gardening books. My very first garden book was Better Homes and Gardens.
Uh-huh.
It was a complete gardening guide, and I still have it, and I still refer to it, too.
Uh-huh.
So,
nice.
I do have a few books.
Any others you want to recommend?
That one I really, really love. Garden Secrets is actually my favorite book.
Okay.
It's, my husband got this given to him, and he gave it to me, and it's a book by the Harrowsmith Country Life. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a book of garden secrets. And it's real simple to read.
Okay. Nice. Did you want to talk about African violets or tell anybody anything about that? Or maybe what do you like about them? What are some tricks to make them grow better? Or
okay.
How'd you get started with African violets?
Okay, I'll tell you... Well, my mom had African violets, and so did my husband's mother. So, like I said, in 1974, I got my very first African violet, and I belonged to the African Violet Society immediately. I'm not sure how that happened, but I got introduced to that. So I always got their magazines and whatnot, and I've learned there's many different violets. There's boys, there's girls. You know, boy leaf, a girl leaf, there's a fluted leaf, a serrated edge around the leaf, an oak leaf. There's a whole, there's names, there's many, many different, you know. And then the flowers, there's single fringed, multicolored double flowers, you know, semi-double flowers. So
I don't know any of this.
Interested in them. And I don't go by the rules. I don't water from the bottom up. I water directly from the top. I give them a bath under the sink, you know, with my sprayer. I did make a major mistake when I was young cleaning one. And I put it under the sink in under warm water. And I took a toothbrush and I brushed each leaf. That's how much I really was interested in keeping these guys healthy. The next day, they were all wilted and black. You want to lightly rinse the leaf, and you get any dust right off of it. And the secret is you don't put them back out in the window in the sun. You let them dry out of the sun, and then they're fine. They can go back where you had them, and they won't burn or anything like that.
All right, Noah, you've got me totally, like, interested. You're giving your plants a bath, and you used to
I do
like to
I
all
do.
Plant do you put all house plant? I mean, I guess I don't really
yeah.
have a house plants. I hadn't really thought about it, but
yeah, I spray usually most of them down pretty good, and I put them in my shower usually, and then I you should see poor Kenny. I have a rosemary plant that must weigh, oh gosh, I love to start rosemary too from seed, but I have this plant that must weigh 30 pounds, and he has to carry it into the shower. And when I get it really wet, then when he picks it up, from the floor, you know, that's
oh my goodness.
Really kills you back.
So how often do you have to bathe a plant? Like once a week or once a month or every 6 months or?
A couple times a year if they're dusty.
Oh.
You know, it's only for the dust.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense then. Well, I'd have to wash mine quite a bit, I suppose. We get a lot of dust out here with these dirty roads, you know, and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah, and the wood stove.
Yep. Well, interesting. All right. Anything else you want to share about them?
Boy, they like whatever you like, the same temperature. You don't want to keep them in a draft, like set them on a table by the door where the door's opening and shutting. That will kill them very quickly, especially in the wintertime because that cold air, they can't do that. You want to feed them on a regular basis so they will keep blooming for you. Feed them some African violet food.
Okay.
So, and there is African violet soil out there. So, that's good to use too.
Okay. Well, all right. So then I'm going to go to our final question, I guess. So if there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would that be? Like, for example, is there a charity or an organization you're passionate about or a project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you think is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the Earth, either like in your local area or a national or global scale?
Oh, boy. Probably the GMO seeds.
Mm-hmm.
That's I'd like to see that come to a screeching halt.
Okay. And then just to leave off, so do you have like an inspirational tip or a quote or anything to help motivate our listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
Oh, gosh. If you can afford it, put in some raised beds because the benefits that you'll get from them, the soil warms quicker, you're not walking on it, you're not watering the aisles. You're just watering the bed. You know, the soil stays real loose because you're not walking on it. So if you can do that, that's what I would recommend. Put in some raised beds.
And then there's so much about raised beds, I think. And I was telling Mike after I started this podcast, I think we need to go build some for my mom. Because I never really thought about it till I started this, that she, I don't know that she's ever grown anything in raised beds. I don't think we've ever had raised beds at her house that I can remember. And I think she'll just like fall in love with them immediately. And to me, one of the things I love about the raised beds is, I mean, some are tall that are hip high, but we have a lot that you can sit on. So harvesting or weeding especially isn't backbreaking. And it just makes it enjoyable to sit next to the plants. And I love that part of it. It just makes me want to be in my garden way more. Getting to sit next to it than being bent over or on my knees or, you know, there's certainly lots of things like, you know, the carrots that you're still down on your knees and stretching and getting into weird positions to try to pull all the weeds out. But the lettuce, we have, Mike builds me a circle of lettuce kind of in the shape of a peace sign a lot each year.
Oh,
and
cool.
I just sit around it and pick different leaves off the end. It seems like it never stops producing. That wheel of lettuce just goes and goes. And I can just sit on different sides of it and, you know, pick the right side or the north side one day and the south side the next day and just different.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Fun to be outside in the garden and just see everything come out from that little tiny seed that looks like it's asleep and there's nothing going on.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. And, but just, I think the raised beds are killer. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
They're great. One other thing with the raised beds, when you're growing onions and you're going to keep them, you know, in your root cellar or garlic for that matter, you have to quit watering them for couple weeks before you can really harvest them for them to harden off. Same with potatoes. So if you have one raised bed, like 4x4, 4x6 of just potatoes, you can just not water that bed. You know?
Okay. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But so Mike could be doing that and I wouldn't even know.
Oh, that's right. I read that. Mike's the gardener.
Mike is definitely the gardener. And I'm like the spoiled, like, I help. I do. I, you know what? I tell people that I was thinking of calling the show the lazy gardener, but I'm more of a clean, I call myself the clean, I like clean gardening jobs. Like, I wear gardening gloves for almost anything I do. I like digging beds, like putting the shovel, using my boots, and digging fresh new beds. But there's a lot of, I like to do the clean, I call them clean gardening jobs, that I'm not going to get too dirty. And my mom's the total opposite. Like, she wouldn't wear a pair of garden gloves, I bet, for like a million years. And neither does Mike, of course. She just laughs at me. But yeah, I wear garden gloves for almost everything. And
that's good, because you don't want your hands looking old before their time. Believe me, Jackie.
So oh, well, that's not gloves. It. That's funny, because no, that's not it. Especially the artist in me, my hands are like, well, like, you know, chapped, and they're pretty raggedy looking that way. Yeah, there's not that part of it. It's just, I don't like the dirt that much. I don't like the feel of the dirt myself, I guess. Or I don't know. I don't like the feel of the dirt, but just, I don't know what it is. I'm kind of, it's just some weird obscure trend.
It's good to be grounded, though. It's good to be in the dirt.
I know, and I love playing with clay. I shouldn't. I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing, because I wouldn't say I don't. But what I guess what it is I don't like having like my jeans be filthy, dirty, and I don't like when it gets in your clothes. And I don't know why the gardening gloves have to do with it. I don't know. I'll have to see if I think differently by the end of this season. Like, I can see my gardening, but I don't know. Interesting. So, well, thanks, Nola, for being on the show today and sharing your expertise and your knowledge and tons of great tips. And I guess, do you want to just say goodbye to the audience? And do you want to, like, I'll put a link in there. Can they mail order African violets from you, or is that just for local people?
Basically local people.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
fine.
Not in the mail order business. But yeah, I am. Boy, I say to you all, happy gardening, and just get out there and enjoy yourself. That's what it's about, having a good time.
Cool.
Thank you so much for having me, Jackie.
Sure. Thanks for coming on today, Nola. Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'd like to encourage you to visit our website at awesomemontana.com. That's just AWESOMEMONTANA.com, like awesome Montana, all spelled out. And click on Mike's Green Garden and the Organic Gardener Podcast, and it will link right to the show notes and all the things we've talked about on today's show. Thanks again for listening, and grow local.